Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our local community Bible discussion from Believer City Church. I'm glad you can join us this evening, and I hope these local discussions in the communities in and around Menominee serve as a blessing to you and to those that you're in fellowship with. We're on 101.7 FM and also streaming online, and so wherever you're at, we just invite you to join us this evening as we take a look at what we discussed on Sunday from Believer City Church. Now, on Sunday, we were in 1 Samuel chapter 8, where the elders of Israel had demanded of Samuel, quote, "Make us a king to judge us like all the nations," end quote. And so the focus of our message is on that statement. And we're going to look back and review some of the teaching from Sunday, and then we'll come back here and discuss it a little bit further before we go into small group discussions that are spread out throughout the area. So let's hit the tape and see what we discussed on Sunday.
See, the history of God's people, and the history is the same today, the history of God's people is when they followed God, they would experience His wonderful promises. This included His presence, His peace, His guidance, His provision, His protection. He Himself would become their Savior, their guide, their provider, and their protector. But when they failed to follow God, when they were disobedient and unfaithful, it would be different. They would be oppressed. They would suffer persecution from the surrounding nations. They'd have their livestock, their crops, all their material possessions confiscated, stolen by bands of raiders. In fact, their wives and their children would be abducted, abused, enslaved. It was, for Israel, you know, as we say, the best of times when they were following God and the worst of times when they were not. Quite literally. And as we turn the page now to chapter 8, we find that God's people, Israel, are once again disobedient, unfaithful, and turning away from God. And here we see the elders gather together, and they're going to voice their concerns. Okay? They've been through this before. This is an old cycle. And now, at this point, they're going to demand, they're going to make a demand of Samuel. They're going to say, "Make us a king. Make us a king." And they're looking around at the world around them. They see Egypt, no doubt, and Sumer, two nations at the time that had been ruled by kings for some 2,000 years at this point. I want what they got. Give me that. That's basically what they're saying. Such kings, they would perform three basic functions for the people. They waged war offensively and defensively. They administered law and justice. And they ensured economic well-being. I want that. I want economic well-being. I want to win my battles. I want justice. Interestingly, up to this point, in Israel's history, it had been God. God was the one who waged war. God was the one who administered law. God was the one who ensured their well-being. It was God who provided these things. Now they wanted a man to provide these things. A human leader. A king. They were looking to the world. They were looking at the surrounding nations. This isn't so different from us. They're just looking around them. I want that. I want what the world has to bring me all my satisfaction, my joy, my pleasure, my peace, my guidance, my provision, my protection. You know, the Bible is super clear about this, and we know better, especially if you're in this church. It says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in that person. For all the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of this world. And furthermore, Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So why do we look for answers in the world rather than turning to God? And you know what? We do this as Christians, or at least professing Christians. Why do we look for answers in the world rather than turning to God? You know, these elders of Israel, they used Samuel's age and his sons for their reasoning, but the real reason was that they didn't have faith in God. They didn't believe God could handle the situation. You see, we do the same thing. We look to all these reasons. We use our brains and try to come up with all these ideas. And the real issue has nothing to do with our intellect or our knowledge or the situation or the circumstances. The real issue is we lack faith in God. We don't trust Him. So often we want to take control. Take the reins. I'm going to control this situation. We don't wait on God. We don't trust Him. We're not still and know that He is God. Where are we taking control and not trusting in God today? Where are we pushing our will and not waiting on God's will? To them, this was reasonable. In fact, they probably thought this was responsible for the nation. Yet to the discerning spiritual eye, this was an evil thing. I wonder if we have that same discernment. In fact, this experiment of being ruled by kings would end in utter failure. We know at the end of this period, they'd be taken captive to Babylon, to Assyria. They'd be two different nations. I mean, this is going to end in just utter destruction of the land, of the people. Sword, famine, pestilence, all of it. And God would say to them, He'd admonish them at that time. He said, O Israel, and in Hosea, He said, O Israel, you are destroyed. You are destroyed because of your lust, because of your want, because of your desire. You are destroyed, but your help is from me. I will be your king. I will be your king. And your judges to whom you said, give me a king, I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. This is the word of God from Hosea. God's perfect will was that He would be their king. He would be their king. In fact, in just a few short chapters, in chapter 12, we're going to read Samuel remind the Israelites, you said to me, no, but a king shall reign over us when the Lord your God was your king. That's what Samuel said to them. He was your king. See, the tragedy here is that in demanding their own king, they were rejecting God as their king. See, when we make decisions, again, our king could be a lot of different things today. It could be a relationship. It could be money. It could be a job. It could be a material possession. When we demand our king today, what we're doing is we're rejecting the one true king. I mean, it could be a good thing. It could be family. It could be a lot of things. When we demand our own way, we are rejecting God as our king. I want you to notice this repetition. In verse 11, verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 16, verse 17, we see the same phrase. He will take. 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 That's what the world's going to do to you. He will take. And when you get to the end, you will cry out in that day, and the Lord will not hear you. See, where a king, a human king, a man from this world would take from the people, God would open the windows of heaven and give back 100-fold. Jesus tells us the thief, this world, that career, that boy, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. To steal, kill, and destroy you. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Put Jesus first. He'll give you back 100-fold of whatever you surrender to Him. He's promising you. I mean, take Him at His word. Let me ask you, do you know the abundance of life? Do you know the abundance of a life totally surrendered to Jesus? There's a lesson for us here. It is this. We will reap what we sow. And you know what? Whatever you plant in the ground, it comes up to produce whatever, 100-fold. Whether that's wickedness or righteousness. You got to choose. What are you going to plant? Jesus, we think we can have both. You can't. Jesus tells us that. I could tell you that, but Jesus tells you that. He says, no one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and trust in the things of this world, mammon, the things of this world. You cannot have both. And when challenged, they simply said, no. No. The Bible tells us, he who being often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Look at the languages in verse 20 and 21. I want you to notice these words, we will, us, that we may, our, us, our. This is the same language actually back in verse 5 when they first asked. They said, make us a king. This wasn't about a king. This is about them. This is about what they wanted. This wasn't even about this object they want. This is all about them. Pure selfishness. Living their life as they wanted on their terms. That's all it was. Not so foreign to us today. What about us? I mean, we can talk about these guys and a king, and how stupid is that to want a king, right? Let me ask you, what's your king today? Where in our life are we insisting on doing it our own way? God loves you. He's warning you because He loves you. He has a good plan for you, and it's just 100-fold better than your plan. Okay? Don't choose disaster. Choose Him.
So, in closing, where are we making demands in our life today? Whether that be in our relationships, with our families, maybe our travel plans, our vacation plans, or in our workplace, our possessions. And what reasons are we using to justify our demands? How might we be tragically forsaking God in our demands? Do we perceive the potential consequences? And will we nonetheless insist on our demands? As Jim Elliot said, God always gives His best to those who leave the choice with Him. I hope we can do that this evening. As we go into discussion, may you be blessed, and I pray you have a fruitful conversation.